Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined with my wonderful co-host, Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Going to take a couple minutes to talk about the most recent news coming out of NCAA collegiate athletics. The recent temporary injunction that was announced with a young man who's going to play quarterback at Vanderbilt. The Twitter world has had somewhat of an overreaction to this and making some broad and sweeping statements around all JUCO athletes now are granted 4 years of eligibility as opposed to the way that it works currently, and it still has not changed, where your JUCO years count against your NCAA eligibility. So if you do 2 years of JUCO, you have two more years of playing ability at the Division I or the four-year school level, the NCAA broadly. This temporary injunction essentially has granted him an additional year of eligibility, and much of the case that was made in the ruling was around the financial component of it and the young man's argument. And it's a little bit deeper than this. Go ahead and Google it if you want to look into the specifics, but we'll keep it high level for now. But essentially his argument was that his inability to be eligible due to his junior college years has limited his ability to benefit financially off of his image and likeness. He was recently given quite a bit of money to play quarterback at Vanderbilt, but he was technically not eligible until this temporary waiver was put into place. So that's pretty much the high level. Anything I missed there?
Nope. Unless you want to talk about the amount of powdered wigs that came out on Twitter.
Everybody's got a law degree.
The law degrees that happened.
Everybody was projecting what the next 10 years of college baseball is going to look like, despite the fact that this is the third major change to college baseball recruiting in the last 18 months. I think rule number one, don't panic. Rule number two, don't believe everything you read on X or Twitter. This is far from a done deal. And I'm going to read a statement from the National Junior College Athletic Association in a second, which kind of echoes the current state of affairs. And this is December 23rd. So this is like hot off the presses as of a couple hours ago. But the high level takeaway is here is that no, it is not a rule where your junior college years don't count. That is not the case. Anything that's happening right now is temporary. It's a temporary waiver. Much of this is driven by football and the money involved with football. Yet to be determined whether this is going to apply across all of sports. A lot of stuff is going to have to be worked out. We'll do a podcast on the potential fallout of this at some point when the picture is a little bit clearer, because if all of a sudden junior college years don't count, yes, it will have some impacts on high school recruiting and so on and so forth. But it's not even worth having that conversation yet because it hasn't happened. But let me read. I don't want any copyright infringement. So this was Dr. Christopher Parker, who's the president and CEO of the National Junior College Athletic Association, released a statement. The NJCAA became aware today of the NCAA Division I Board of Directors granting a waiver to permit student athletes who attended and competed at a non-NCAA school for one or more years to remain eligible and compete in the 25-26 season if those student athletes would have otherwise used their final season of completion during the 24-25 academic year, which is the one that we're currently in, and meet all other eligibility requirements. This is currently a temporary waiver that only applies to those student athletes that meet the stated criteria to compete in the 25-26 season. As stated last week, the NJCAA Division I Football Championship, the NJCAA fully supports all two-year athletes seeking to continue their academic and athletic careers at four-year level and is supportive of this waiver being granted to all two-year college student athletes in a similar position as Diego Pavia Diego, I apologize if I butchered your last name. So basically, there's a one-year waiver. The language at the end of that leaves a lot to interpretation, because they're specifically from a baseball perspective, there won't be a ton of players in Diego's situation where their name, image and likeness, financial gains will be substantial. So temporary waiver for student athletes who would have lost eligibility this year. They'll get that year of eligibility for the 25-26 academic calendar year, which begins August 9th, I think, next summer. So all in all, those student athletes who meet the criteria are going to get an extra year. All the other hyperbole that you're seeing on Twitter or Instagram is nonsense. Nothing is in place. None of this is official. The NCAA has openly stated that they plan to appeal the ruling. This could get held up in the courts for a significant amount of time. It might be resolved by the next time we hop on to record. We don't know. So don't panic. Don't go adjusting everything that you do in your recruiting plan, because essentially for high school athletes, this has no impact at the moment.
Zero. None. I just don't think, like, I think the knee-jerk reaction, obviously, in the world we live in is, you know, you saw what happened when that, you know, it was an injunction in my law degree hat. Let me get my powdered wig and throw it on here. Says that it's a temporary injunction, which means that it's going to be resolved at a later date. And we immediately jump to every single person ever has 4 years of eligibility and possibly two more left. And we're making some pretty big leaps there. And look, like, this absolutely could be a thing that eventually happens here in the next couple months, year, whatever. But it's not going to move the needle enough right now to where people should be changing their entire recruiting philosophy. There's only 500 JUCOs ish in the country. The high school student athlete still has to be recruited, considering there's close to, if not more than 1,000 Division I, II, and III programs out there. So if there's only 500 JUCOs and over 1,000 Division I, II, and III schools, like, the math doesn't math that everyone is going to go from a JUCO to a Division I, II, or III school and do that. So don't panic. The high school student athletes are still going to be recruited. And it's a far deeper conversation that we'll get into it at another podcast. But I've said this to you. I've said it to a bunch of our friends. There's just like any other programs out there, there's JUCOs out there that are underfunded and understaffed, and I don't know if they have the infrastructure to handle the potential of an influx of a lot of kids. So it's, you'd have to be smart about what it is you're going to do. Are there some out there that can? Absolutely there are. But there are some that would really struggle to be able to do that. So, it's no cause to change everything it is that you're doing, and be smart about how you're going about your recruiting process and not bank on the fact that this is something that is going to happen where you're going to be able to play 6 years in college. And, you know, quite frankly, if that's the case, like, you got to ask yourself if you even want to do that. So there's larger implications and more things to think about than just like, oh my God, everyone gets 4 full years after going to 2 years of JUCO. And, I think that there's, in a longer podcast, we can delve into that when this picture is incredibly murky. And it'll become more clear over the course of the next couple months. And when we get to that point, we can delve into some of these things a little bit more and not just have knee-jerk reactions that we're changing the landscape of college baseball again for the third time in 18 months.
Yeah, if or when this goes into to play, it'll warrant a long conversation, not a knee-jerk blanket statement on Twitter that high school recruiting is dead. So there's the unfortunate thing, and I'm going to throw this out there because I'm a little bit upset by it, is that you have some people who have a significant platform. There's prominent ESPN writers just tweeting out nonsense about this ruling, and other coaches and different people who are involved in the baseball world that are speaking on this topic and just greatly misinforming the general population with their platform, which is really unfortunate. So for the folks who listen to this, just know that we will not be speaking in detail on this until there's some more clarity. There is a lot to unpack if this goes into effect. It is the conversation does not stop with junior college guys get 4 years at the Division I level. We don't know if it's Division I only. Is it across NCAA? The academic ramifications, recruiting budgets, roster sizes, like there's a ton to unpack here. And when we have more information and we can speak to it from an educated perspective, we will give it its due time and have a well-informed, thoughtful conversation about this particular ruling and what the downstream effects of it could have on college baseball and the high school recruiting landscape. So more to come on this. Don't panic. Check your sources. We certainly do not get paid by these guys by any stretch of the imagination, but Kendall Rogers and D1 baseball generally shoot you pretty straight with this kind of stuff. So if you're going to check on the current status of this, they're a decent place to go to get some unbiased and factual information. But don't be fooled by the powdered wigs that all of a sudden they got their JD and intercollegiate law. This is a complicated affair, and the story is yet to be written on this. So don't panic. We'll get it sorted out. Anything else, Coach?
Nope. Nailed it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on EMDBaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.